Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
Here we go.
You better buckle up, Buttercup.
And a whole new attitude to your afternoon.
I want to know what's going on, and I want to know right now.
You know, two dudes talking sports.
And you two will be awesome.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's a household name.
Who the hell are you?
It's the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show.
Yeah, let's go, because it's hot, man. It is a hot one. 91 degrees in beautiful downtown Canton today, Kenny. In the intro of this program today on a First Friday, I've got to tell you, what? I'm a little bit out of sorts today because it was Bring Your Dog to Work Day, and boy, wasn't that fun. This is actual audio. Lucy the Wonder Dog in a standoff against Dante, the boss's dog. Never a good thing when your dog beats up the boss's dog on Bring Your Dog to Work Day.
Lucy wasn't happy, huh?
He wasn't having it. Not having it.
She'd leave any presents for Larry and Pam in their office or anything, or no?
We did our due diligence and everything else before we got to work today, unlike other people's dogs that left their mark outside the studio.
What?
Whose
did that?
What do you think?
Who did that?
It wouldn't matter. It just blends right in with the carpet, doesn't it?
You couldn't even tell. The odor would probably smell better than what the carpet smells like.
Before we get started, don't tell Lisa this, but the only place that it's cool in this place is in the studio. Lucy came in to cool off. She laid down on the floor in the studio.
Too damn sultry in here.
Thanks, Mama.
It's more than sultry in here.
Oh, man. Yeah, you need to give her a bath. You know what?
That's right.
I get... Take her to Froggy's Car Wash and get that cleaned out real quick.
Riff, she's riff, late. Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
I'll take her in the Jeep. Just leave the top down. I'll leave the top down. They'll do the inside for free.
Hey, how about that for an idea? Any car wash out there, I think this is a great idea. Get your car washed and your dog washed at the same time.
Perfect.
That's a great idea. You can't say kill two birds with one stone anymore, but you get the drift on that, right?
No.
Yeah, so, all right. So, hey, First Friday, too, July 1st. Hey,
we've got a ton going on today. We've got Disco Inferno tonight on Centennial Plaza. How about this, July 3rd? The Blue Coats are coming. They're going to be downtown at Centennial Plaza. Everything starts at noon. There's going to be food trucks. There's going to be other restaurants and stuff. All kinds of great things going on. And a concert at 8 on Sunday.
How about that, man? Pretty sweet. So a great weekend. And really, when you think about it, we always say, like, this is a First Friday, right? When it's, Friday, May 6th, okay? But this truly is a First Friday, because it's the first day of the month.
Right.
And it's the first Friday of the month coinciding on the same day. So it is truly like, this is like a supernova equinox eclipse or whatever, right?
I guess.
Yeah, I think so. A true First Friday, July 1st, Friday, July 1st.
The first day of
celebrated
the month
as
first
such.
Friday. That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Wonder if it's ever happened before.
I don't think it has ever happened. Brian, look that up.
Yeah, okay. He'll get right on that.
Brian, look that up. See if that's ever happened before in Canton, Ohio, where the first Friday of the month actually was the first day of the month as well. I think this is a first.
You mean just in Canton?
Yeah, yes, just here. Only here.
Nowhere else.
Because it never happened anywhere else.
Nobody else has a first Friday, just Canton. So there you go.
By the way.
That's why. Yeah.
I guess we should wish one of our favorite people on the planet a happy birthday today.
Oh.
Whose birthday is it today?
Turning 88 years old, another one of my relatives. Wait a minute, I shouldn't say that. I think he might be right. I don't want to lie. I don't want to tell any lies or tell a joke on this program. I might be called out on it. Jamie Farr turns 88 years old today.
Yeah, this is Jamie Farr. I'd like to order some Lebanese food from Canton, Ohio. Kibbeh and some kousa and some hummus and baba ghanoush. So Let me know if you can deliver. Thank you.
I'd love to call him, Kenny. I don't have a cell number. I've got his home number. Do you bother a guy in California when he's 88 years old?
Well, what time is it there? He's up. Yeah, it's noon now in California. He should be up by now. Sure. And, hey, let's be honest. As you get up in age, every year you're still around, you should be happy that you're still around, right? He's 88 years young.
We get that. But at 88 years old, I don't know if I should take that opportunity to try and bug him.
Oh, I don't. You know what? I don't think he'd be bothered by it at all. I really don't think he'd be bothered. No, I don't. So happy birthday to James.
Colonel Potter, sir. Corporal Klinger. I'm Section 8, head to toe. I'm wearing a Warner bra. I play with dolls. My last wish is to be buried in my mother's wedding gown. I'm nuts. I should be out.
Horse hockey.
Horse hockey.
It is the devil's work.
Just borrowing a little of your shampoo, Major. It's wartime. We all got to help each other.
Klinger, sir. How dare you wear that hat while in uniform?
It's spring, sir.
See you later, Buzzard Bee.
My dog had your face. I'd shave his butt and teach him to walk backwards.
Oh, gosh. Oh. That was a great show back in the day, right?
Yeah.
You know what I watched the other night, thinking, you know, talking of great shows? I went back and watched, just because it was there, the first ever episode of Cheers.
Really?
Yes. It was the first season was on somewhere, and I'm like, I don't remember all started, right? You know, and it starts with this little kid coming in, and he's underage, and he's trying to buy a beer at the bar, and he's talking with Sam. And then it was really cool in watching it. After the little kid leaves, then all the characters started coming into the bar one by one, you know, with a little bit of time in between. And so you meet coach comes in first, right? And the conversation he and Sam have, it's hysterical. And then after coach comes in, Norm comes in, right? Norm, you know, how you doing? How you doing, Norm?
And Cliff.
Ask me in 10 minutes. I'll tell you and give me a beer.
Oh, that's good.
And then Paulo, what's the little one's name? The Danny DeVito's wife. Rhea Perlman, what was her name?
What was her name?
Carla, thank you.
Was that the episode? Did she beat up the Yankees fan in that episode? I know one of the very early ones that Yankees fan comes in and starts giving her crap, and she just wails on him.
So she comes in. They introduce her, and then Shelley Long comes in. Okay.
Oh yeah.
And she's supposed to get married. She's engaged, and her and her fiance are about to head off on a trip or whatever. And then he stiffs her, and she ends up at the bar. And her and Sam have the the back and forth. And he offers her a job as a waitress. Great episode. But the way they introduced each character in that the first episode was phenomenal.
Yeah,
that's why
Woody Harrelson yet, right?
No, Woody
came later.
Yes. And who was the other after Shelley Long left?
Kirstie Alley.
Yes, Kirstie Alley.
I don't remember what her
on board.
Character was.
And Kelsey Grammer was late.
He was later.
Right. He was supposed to come in just for a couple of episodes as a love interest for Diane.
Diane. Yeah.
And they blew him away. The writers, they kept him.
Yep. And ended up having a series of his own. So, those old time, it's fun to go back and watch those old time series, MASH and Cheers and some of the other ones.
You know why? Because last night would have been the perfect night for it. You know what I did? I watched the replay of the Guardians game last night. I wanted to watch, because while we were at the radio station yesterday, we listened to Tom Hamilton. I wanted to watch the TV version of that final inning last night as the Guardians take down the Minnesota Twins. How do you think the Twins feel today?
Oh, dude, they've got to be pissed.
Are you kidding me?
Got to be pissed at their manager, too, right?
Man.
I mean, Rocco Baldelli, my goodness. Michael Regai and I did a podcast last night. The Regai and wrote a podcast, and he agreed 100% with you about Rocco Baldelli, man. He said he should have been fired, or they're going to take him to task because he blew two straight games to the Guardians.
They said it on a telecast last night. He may not make the plane ride back to Minnesota. I think they're in Minnesota taking on the Orioles, so things get a little bit easier for them, but they turn right back around to take on the Chicago White Sox. We get the Yankees. Now, the Yankees... This might be a golden opportunity to go after the Yankees with the best record in baseball, and I'll tell you why. For whatever reason, the Houston Astros refused to play a day game on getaway day. And I believe the Yankees were in – you might have to check it, but I think the Yankees were in Houston, and they had to play a night game. So they lose an hour. Who knows what time they got on the plane ride, got to Cleveland or whatever. Hopefully they may be a little bit tired.
Let's see. The Yankees right now, how about their record, dude? They are 56-21, 6-4 in their last 10. They did lose their last game. And they're not as good on the road as they are at home. So, you know, that's a positive. You hope that the Guardians have some momentum. And the only negative is I was looking it up today, and I'm not singing until he wins a game. Aaron Civale starting tonight.
Boy,
and
he's got a 720 never wins another one. Average. Maybe he won't win again, Brian. We'll all be lucky.
2-15 this year.
You know, as long as he doesn't get the decision and they win the game and he doesn't get credit for the win, Kenny can't sing anymore.
That's right. I'm not singing my Civale song until he is credited with a victory.
Gee whiz. Hey, none of our starters can get credit for a victory. Do you realize that even though Bieber didn't get credit for the win yesterday, that 8 of his last starts, I believe, were victories for the Guardians?
8 in their last 10.
Is that what it is?
Yep, 8-2 in their last 10 starts with Bieber on the hill. Yeah, so he may not get the W or the run support, but they're finding a way to win. You know why? He keeps them in the game, right? Yeah, we went to the game, and he gave up the 3-run bomb to the Red Sox, and they lost 4-2. And then he gives up a 3-run double, right, in his start, you know, yesterday or whenever it was. But they come back and they find a way to win that one.
Right.
So he keeps them in the game. And the way this team, 17 last at bat wins, are you kidding me? They believe they can do it in the ninth or tenth inning.
Now you focus in on the Yankees at 56-21 right now, the best record in baseball.
Yeah.
And yet they're thinking about adding to their team at the trade that they're looking for help at outfield. They're looking at some kid from the Pirates.
Yeah, he had 3 home runs in a game. I forget his name. He hit 3 bombs in one game the other day.
I mean,
left-handed hitter.
What do you say? The rich get richer? Is that what they say?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, because you can afford it.
But do you really want to upset the apple cart when you already won 56 games? We're not even at the trade deadline yet. We're not even at the midway part yet. They've won 56 games. We're not good enough?
Hey, you know what? We think we should be better, and we shouldn't have lost this many games. So we're going out, and we're going to improve, our talent on this team and go out and get a left-handed power-hitting outfielder to add to this already awesome line. And think about it. If you're a left-handed hitter, where else would you want to play than in Yankee Stadium?
Nowhere.
That short right field porch, man, that adds at least 5 home runs a year to your game if you're a power-hitting left-handed hitter.
What do you got, Ryan?
Talking about pitching wins this year. Guardians starters have 20 wins. Guardians bullpen has 19.
Oh, my.
I guess that's good, though. What are they, 4 or 5 games over 500?
I mean, a win's a win.
Win's a win. And in this day and age, who cares if it's a starter anymore? Starter goes, 5, 6 innings?
And when it's a comeback win, it's going to be a bullpen guy.
I was looking at this today, and tell me if you agree or disagree on this.
All right.
Jose Clase Jimenez should all be all-stars in the American League.
Absolutely.
That's a fair statement, isn't it?
They're going to be.
Jose is, because even if he doesn't win the vote, he was leading the last time we checked.
But it's over now.
Yeah.
The fan vote's over.
Yeah, so the fan part of it is over. So if he wins and gets the start, great. If not, he'll get picked as a reserve. Class A, you got to pick him. He's one of the best closers in the game right
now. How do the pitchers?
That's up to the manager, I believe.
Yeah, you got to put him in. So is the manager the loser of the World Series last year? Is that how that works?
I don't know if it's.
Well, we're in L.A.
The managers are the World Series participants.
Okay, so it would have been the loser because National League won it, right? Atlanta?
Braves won last
year,
yes.
Yeah, Braves beat the Astros, so Braves manager, Astros manager will be the manager.
So does that mean that we get to win the All-Star game for the American League because we're going to cheat?
Yeah, he'll share his cheating secrets with everybody on the team. You get to learn how to cheat and be like an Astro, a cheater, and Tom Brady, and your cousin from Boston. So they should all be in there. And Andrés Giménez, however you want to pronounce it, Defensively, did you see the play he made yesterday, the Derek Jeter jump throw?
Yeah.
And Andre asked him about it after the game because he missed that throw a game or two earlier and said he wouldn't miss it again this season, and he's doing it defensively. He hustled and got an extra base on that one play, and then he jacks it out of the ballpark and gives him the put-to-sleep sign as he's coming around third base and stomping on home plate and telling the Twins to suck it, basically.
Well, the thing is, they really made out on that trade. And for whatever reason, maybe because he's getting paid too much money, I don't think he's Cadillac, and he's still going to be one of the best players in all of baseball, and Frankie Lindor. But the fact remains, the two guys that we got in his place are actually doing fairly decently. And it's pretty, it's a good problem to have. But I thought moving forward, getting close to the trade deadline, that you might move Amed Rosario. But I don't think that's going to happen now because he's just too much of this team. He's an integral part of this team. And an offense that struggles at times, you look for his bat. You maybe look for his leadership. But don't you think Jimenez is probably the shortstop of the future for this team?
Either shortstop or second base. I don't know enough about the guys down on the farm as to which position they play best, right? So we know Jimenez can play either middle infield spot. So he's part of the future at either second base or shortstop, it looks like. Rosario, you're right. That might be a tradable commodity you dangle before the trading deadline.
Well, the thing is this, too. I don't think he's the second baseman of the future. But we may be finding out, and if this stick doesn't come back to life, I thought it was going to be Owen Miller. But if Owen Miller keeps playing the way he's been playing, you're going to see him platooned at first base for the remainder of the season with Naylor. Naylor's not going back out to right field as long as they can get Oscar Gonzalez back out there healthy.
Yeah, they would like to keep Naylor at first base.
I think.
Less movement on that repaired ankle and leg, right?
This year at least. If he comes back from that injury, they still don't think it's going to be 100% until next year anyway. You can't take his stick out of this lineup, right? You leave him at first base. Wouldn't you rather see Owen Miller at second base and Jimenez at short? Defensively. So defensively, what do you do?
Yeah.
Make Rosario your DH? You're not going to take him out of the game. He couldn't play left field. That was the problem.
I'd rather have him as a DH right now than Franmil Reyes.
Bingo.
Okay?
I agree.
Right? So, you know what? Either Owen Miller or Rosario as the DH, and the other plays the infield position, and sit Franmil Reyes down for some games and only play him against left-handed pitchers or whatever. Now, he's not helping this team, right? I know he scored on to tie the game yesterday and everything. He hustled on the bad throw by Gio Urshela. But, hey, barely 200.
Has got to bat more than 204, whatever it is.
Here's the difference.
It was a throw in when we were going to have, you know, when there was no DH, you put somebody to bat for the pitcher. But I would argue that if you batted your pitcher instead of your DH, he might have a higher batting average.
Here's the thing. I'm okay if Franmil Reyes bats 230. As long as he hits 40 home runs and drives in 100.
It ain't happening.
He's not doing
year.
Any of that, right? So with that in mind, sorry, he's hurting the team more than he's helping the team. So, give me Rosario. And you know what? Ride them while they're hot. If they're swinging a hot stick, let them play, man. Keep them in the lineup as long as they're driving in runs and they're not killing you defensively. Yeah. Keep him in there, and that hopefully Tito's going to do that. Now, the other thing, Tito will tell you, hey, you got to give a guy a chance to hit out of his slump. But how many chances do you give for Franmil
Reyes? I don't know, but Tito has been pretty, he's staying true to his words. You know, otherwise, Kwan wouldn't still be here. Oscar Gonzalez isn't supposed to be here. He played his way into this team and got Mercado cut, basically.
How about that? Yeah, I know. Now, will that continue, or is he going to be another one of those guys? Who'd we interview that year? Remember we were out in Arizona? And they brought him on board, and he hit the team's first home run, and he had like a good first 2 months, and then he didn't make
it past. I don't know, but I'll tell you who comes to mind. Who always comes to mind is Tyler Naquin.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was a part of the team. He was part of the franchise.
But still, he was a high draft pick. He came in, and the one thing that he knew that he could do was hit, but he just couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah, so we'll see what they do. You know, the trade deadline. The guy you're talking about with the Yankees, I was just looking this up from the Pirates. And if if the Yankees are interested in him, God dang, the Indians should be in, Indians, Guardians should be interested in him, because he can help the Guardians right now. You like Andrew Benintendi, right?
Yes.
From the Royals. That's your guy. Not a power hitter, but he's hitting for over 300. He's hitting for an average, right? So he gives you that type of opportunity. The guy that you mentioned the Yankees are interested in, Brian Reynolds, he continues to be one of those talked-about trade candidates, though it remains to be seen whether the Pirates will actually move him. He had three homers in the Pirates' 8-7 win over the Nationals on Wednesday. He's 27 years old. 6.75 million for next year as well.
Really?
Okay, so that's perfect for the Guardians. You kidding me? 6.75 in 2023 and arbitration eligible for two more years after that? That is the perfect Cleveland Guardian outfielder right there, Brian Reynolds.
I'm surprised the Pirates would pay somebody that much. It just seems as though for the last couple of years, they're just, you know, they're like the Indians in the 70s. They are the minor league team of whoever wants their better players. Gerrit Cole comes to mind. You take your pick.
Yeah.
They trade away everyone before they end up being superstars.
Make him an offer he can't refuse.
Who is that? Sterling Marte?
Sterling Marte was another one.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. They've had some, well, that's their way, right? They draft them, they grow them, and then when they got to pay them, they trade them. Right? Sounds familiar?
Yeah.
Somewhat with the Guardians? Same
thing. Yeah, but they don't remain. The difference is we at least, and I know you hate to hear it, they stay competitive. They usually stay at the 500 mark. They've got the highest winning percentage of any team in the American League over the last 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you love that nut line. Oh, but it's true. Great. I mean, the difference is, I understand, but my point is this. It still means a lot to be able to go to the ballpark if you're going to spend money to go. At least you've got a 50-50 shot of winning. I don't know if you can say that with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And especially when they rip your heart out if you're a fan and they take your favorite player.
If all you want in your baseball team is to be competitive with a chance to make the playoffs, fine. Then you run that stat out every day of the week and twice on Sunday, right?
Right.
Run that, hey, most winningest games, yada, yada, and all, in the AL, NL, whatever, in the last 5, 6, 7 years. Well, that's fine. But me, and this is just how I'm wired, and some people think it's wrong, championship or bust every year with my sports team.
Right.
That's what I expect.
But here's the difference.
I'm not happy hearing that stat.
This is the difference. With this team, the strength of this team normally are pitching. If the pitching is good and you make it into the playoffs, anything can happen. Last year's World Series champion wasn't even 500 at the trade deadline or at the midway mark. So what I'm saying is this. Get me there and I'll take my chances. But this year, it seems as though the pitching isn't the strength of this team.
What is?
That's a great question. It's not offense. Strength of this team is the never-say-die attitude. And they feel that they're in the game until the final out. That's the strength of the team. Can you hang your hat on it? Probably not. Is it fun to watch? Yes, it is. Absolutely it is.
You are 100% correct. The identity of this baseball team is they never quit, right? We may not have the best players. We don't spend the most money. Our starters aren't living up to the expectations. Franmil Reyes strikes out every three at-bats. But guess what? Seventh, eighth, ninth inning, we're right there, and we're going to give it our all, and we've won 17 times coming from behind.
Right.
So we believe we can do it no matter what the score
is. It's amazing.
Right? I mean, think about it. They were down 3 runs in the 10th inning, scored 4 to win the game on the walk-off homer by Jimenez.
And you're relying on your closer when you're the Minnesota Twins, a team that's in first place. Guy can't be a stiff, can he? If for whatever reason, this team just doesn't, they just don't go to sleep. They're willing to play till the last out. For whatever reason, this team would beat Class A if he was pitching against them.
Yeah, against that, you're right. And if I'm Minnesota, I'm looking for two things, a new manager and new bullpen help.
Well,
that's what I'm looking for.
And
man,
they replaced their pitching coach. Maybe it makes a difference.
Maybe it does. August 2nd, trading deadline. All right, was just making sure I had the date right. Names that supposedly are out there. Tell me if any of these names interest you. Right-handed pitcher Luis Castillo of the Reds. Starter. Yes? No?
What's his record?
Let's see. Does it give it here? Castillo. In his past five outings, he's got a 2.45 ERA. So they're basically telling you what he's been doing as of late and why his value has increased. Says Braves, Red Sox, and Twins interested in Luis Castillo.
Remember this. The Reds started out the season like 3-20 or something crazy like that. They're still in last place, but they're 26-49. ERA under 3, he would be leading our team.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, how about this one? You brought him up. Wilson Contreras, catcher for the Cubs. He's making $9.6 million. You get him halfway through the season, that means $4.8 million. Now that you got a minority owner, would you look at somebody like that?
Problem with this is the fact that we want somebody long-term. We don't need a rental. And even though he hits .260 average for his career, he's at .280 for the season. Guardians aren't renting out anyone, so I don't think they'd be willing to spend $4 million this year and then probably $9 or more the following couple of years.
All right, there you go. So we'll keep an eye on this August 2nd, about a month away, the trading deadline in Major League Baseball. We'll keep you posted on that with your red-hot Guardians taking on the Yankees tonight. We're going to break in here when we...
Cleveland Guardians.
Thanks.
Tom Hanks, yeah, there he is. When we come back, we'll tell you what the Cavaliers did in free agency. A couple of signings the Cavaliers have made. And we'll get into plenty of other interesting things when we return with Screenshots up next here on the Kenny and JT Show.
It's Kenny and JT on WHBC.